All right. Also, we're going to go with fucking... Man, I might actually get kicked off Hangouts. This is going to be pretty fun. If I get kicked off Hangouts, that will be a silly time for playing fucking authorized music. Fuck. Oh, I know who I want to play today. There we go. We're going to be boldly going where no man's gone before. And by no man's gone before, I mean, we're leaving. We're leaving Tuesdays. Where will we go? Well, it's up to you guys. Maybe it's a 10-year mission. Maybe it's just us fucking around, being dicks. Dude, Hangout is just fucking riding right up my cockhole today. And, man, I have permission to use Andrew Allen. I mean, I didn't, like, ask him or nothing, but I'm sure if I did, he'd say yes. Okay, we're going to go. We're rocking. We're rolling. Fucking, we're going to do the show. Here we go. Hold on. Wait a minute. We're streaming live on Alpha Geek Radio. This is the Jerry Show. And I would like to remind you that this episode, like all episodes of the Jerry Podcast, is brought to you by motherfucking nobody.
On the day that we met on the internet, I asked her for a photograph. She sent it over to me, said, I know it's ugly. And I said, girl, ugly ain't the half. Look at you.
And with that, we're back as if we never left. It's the Jerry Show. My name is Justin Robert Young. When you put that together and you leave out a couple other letters, you spell jury. J-U-R-Y. Justin Robert Young at your service. Where do I come to you from today? It is our own little Carmen San Diego game. Listeners to this show will hear me dot across this continental United States and maybe one day, even abroad. But I got on a plane today. I went to SFO at 6 in the morning. Much like the bitches in the living room getting it on, my cross-country business commuter flight wasn't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you want to do? Shit. I got a flight out to Tampa, and my homeboys do too. So turn out the lights and close the cabin door. But for what? We don't love these hoes. I'm here in St. Petersburg, Florida. It is known for being the other city that's oftentimes just confused with Tampa. It's also the scene of Spring Break, the James Franco Harmony Korine vehicle. Spring Break. But today, my friends, it is quite possibly the home of the last Jerry Podcast. Yeah. This is the last one. Possibly. I don't know. It's up to you. You, the live viewers. You, the listeners on iTunes. You, the listeners on Stitcher Radio. I need to hear from you guys because this has been a bit of an experiment. It was an experiment for me. It was an experiment for you guys. I want to see what you thought of this little summer run. Was it a summer fling? Was it summer loving? Under the docks? And the next thing you know, we're split apart like Sandra Day and Danny Zuko? Is it Danny Zuko? I don't know. That guy who knows all the characters from Greece. Or is it something that's meant to be? Was this just a spark for a lifetime of oral passion? A-U-R-A-L-O-L? I don't know. We're going to figure it out. It's all going to come down to you guys. But before we get to that, man, we have we got a hell of a little show here for you guys. You know, every once in a while, God provides. I don't know. I'm an atheist myself, but I do believe that there are news gods. I believe that they live in an ivory tower, and every once in a while, they look down upon us and they shake loose morsels for gas bags like me to contemplate loudly. And this week was just such a week. We're going to talk about Ray Rice. Ray Rice, running back from Rutgers, who damn near got himself fired, run out of the league like he was a pariah. Wait a minute, you might say. I barely follow sports, but I remember that there was a dude who punched his wife, and he only got 2 games. I mean, that seemed kind of fucked up at the time, but he got 2 games. Now, all of a sudden, people fucking can't wait to run his ass out of town. He's banned from the NFL for life. What happened? Well, he got busted on tape, busting his wife in the face 2 times. That's the problem. But also, there's more elements to this that I want to go over. We'll talk about that in a hot second. Also, we got Apple stuff to talk about and all the stuff around the Apple stuff. We had, really the future of that company. If you give a fuck about Apple computers, which is pretty much everybody, even if you hate Apple computers, you give a fuck about them, right? Future of that company is on display right now. Right now, their dick's hanging in the breeze, and everybody's gathering around to look at it and make their judgments. And we're going to determine the future of this show. But before we get started, I want to follow up on something that we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about the fappening. The fappening. The fappening. It's where all the scoundrels of the internet gathered so they could trade naked pictures of the starlets of the day. You want to see Kate Upton's tits? The fappening on Reddit. Would you like to see Jennifer Lawrence seductively sucking her finger for some sort of text romance she had? That was on the fappening. Would you like to see now revealed to be underage pictures of American gymnastics superstar Michaela Maroney? You can find it on the fappening, and that's eventually what got that motherfucker banned. But before it got banned, Reddit came out and issued a statement based on why they were keeping it up. Why the fappening existed. Right here, just because I feel like this is part of the experience. I'm going to search for Reddit Soul. R-I-D-D-I-T, Soul. It comes up with soul music. Funkin' soul music. And then it comes to this. This is the official statement by Reddit about the fappening called Every Man is Responsible for His Own Soul. Bit heavy-handed, right? A little bit. They're Reddit, right? Ain't exactly saving the world here. Every man is responsible for his own soul. You ever get into a situation where somebody, your friend does something fucked up, right? Friend does something that's weird or fucked up, and it's not the end of the world. It's just something a little odd, right? It's just something a little outside of what you would expect from your friend. And then your friend comes over to apologize. Right thing to do, right? Right thing to do. Just clear the air. Make things right. Except when they apologize to you, The way that they apologize is so over the top that now the story becomes way more about how your friend apologized than what he's apologizing for. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Fucking whatever the thing is, fine. Yeah, you're absolved. But what the fuck were you just talking about? Because you have such a bizarre outlook on this situation that now I'm more fascinated with the cognitive dissonance between where I'm thinking about shit and where you're thinking about shit. Because apparently we're not living on the same planet. That's basically what happened with this here Reddit thing, man. This is, and if you can go and find it, it's on redditblog.com. This is from, let's see, who is this? From Yishan on Reddit. They're talking about why they allowed the fappening. And here's pretty much all you need to know when you read this post. In fact, if you want to just skip to the good parts, you can just go at, or, you know, control F, government. Type in government and find where they're talking about government. Here we go. Reddit's platform is structurally based on the ability for people to distribute, promote, and highlight textual materials as well as links to images and other media. We understand the harm that misusing our site does to victims of this theft, and we deeply sympathize. Having said that, we are unlikely to make changes to our existing site content policies in response to this specific event. The reason is because we consider ourselves not just a company running a website, but where one can post links and discuss them. Here we go. But the government of a new type of community. The role and responsibility of a government differs from that of a private corporation in that it exercises restraint in the usages of its powers. Oh boy. I will read that part again for you. We view ourselves not as a private corporation where one can post links and discuss them, but the government of a new community. The role and responsibility of a government differs from that of a private corporation in that it exercises restraint in the usage of its powers. Reddit, you're not a government. I mean, you might think of yourself as a government, and that's fine. I can think of myself as the Emperor of Spain. That doesn't make it true. You're a private corporation that runs a website where people post text and links to pictures and videos. And at the end of the day, no matter what you say, you can say that this is because you are safeguarding free speech, but if you did not operate a website in which page views and traffic mattered, then we would not be having this conversation. And this is not to say that I believe that they are lying, right? Everything can be true. Because at the end of the day, this is all I believe. I believe that they are running a fucking website. They're a private corporation that's running a website. They would like to turn a profit if they can. They would like to have the most relevant website that they can. And relevance is determined by traffic. It is. At the end of the day, that's what matters. So when they come out and talk about the fappening, less would have been more. Less would have been more. And very often is, by the way. Says the guy who does a one mic podcast in which only he talks for an hour. Less is more. Go ahead and pencil that one in to the hypocrisy of the fucking millennium. I am telling other people, stop talking so much. You're going to make an asshole out of yourself. But in this case, I absolutely believe it's true. Reddit should have said, we have guidelines. These boards, that, although we personally found them disgusting, followed those guidelines. We took down anything that didn't follow in those guidelines. And then when it was pulled, you say, listen, it was pulled because they wanted to follow the fucking guidelines. That's it. That's all you need to know. Damn, Ninny, that's all you had to say. But instead, we have the overlords of Reddit fitting their fucking African warlord, military outfits and pinning medals to themselves because they are the true government safeguards of a new community. If Reddit is a government, then it is a fucking failed state. And it might be one of those really fun failed states, right? There's plenty of really fun failed states you can go to, have a great time. I have a great time in Reddit. Wouldn't want to live there. Like to hang out. Like to chill out. Do a weekend trip to Reddit. Fucking keep tabs on it. I don't know if it's some place that I would like to make my home. And I think it's weird that anybody would say that they are classify themselves as something more than what they plainly are. Makes you seem like a highfalutin idiot. Kind of like a guy who had threatened to end his podcast after only a couple weeks of building a very, very loyal and amazing audience. Can we resolve this hypocrisy? Find out! From the silliness that is Reddit, we go to the seriousness that is domestic violence in our public sphere. You might be looking at your televisions and Twitter and general dialogue in today's society and say, I don't give a fuck about football. Why should I give a fuck about this Ray Rice controversy? And I will say that the reason why you should is because it is a reflection, and every once in a while we get these kind of situations in which we take a temperature as a culture, or at least certain subsections of it, on important issues. It's the reason why Michael Sam was important. Michael Sam's important because it takes the temperature on where we feel gays in the workplace are. And for a lot of people, it's, he's gay, he should work, whatever, why are we talking about it? Well, because we want to just find out. You can't just chalk that up and say that everybody thinks like that. We might all think like that now. We might say we think like that, but it's important to talk about. And similarly, it's important that we talk about Ray Rice. If you are unfamiliar with this situation, Ray Rice is a Baltimore Ravens running back. Won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Very talented running back who earlier this year assaulted his wife and was brought in by Atlantic City Police. It happened at a Jersey Shore casino that has since been closed. Video leaked on TMZ of him dragging his unconscious fiance out of an elevator before being confronted by hotel security. So, in the intervening time, he was submitted to a pre-trial counseling system, which basically means that he gets probation without a conviction in Atlantic City. According to Atlantic City police and prosecutors, this is in line with what first-time offenders get. Could put a pin in that for a second. Also, first-time offenders, and also, this is not an easy conversation to have when it comes to law enforcement. Because after Janae Rice, or previously Janae Palmer, got punched in the face and knocked out unconscious, she was Ray Rice's girlfriend. After that, she was Ray Rice's wife and refused to press charges. And this is common in a lot of domestic violence situations. Rare is it that the victim of domestic violence, and again, this does cross gender lines, but let's not be pedantic. It is, by and large, women who are assaulted. They don't want to press charges against their husbands or boyfriends or people who they live with because that's painful. It's hard. It's easier to bury it than it is to deal with it. And very often, it just doesn't happen. And if you don't have somebody wanting to press charges, it's hard to, you know, punish somebody. Punish the perpetrator. So let's go ahead and fast forward through this a little bit. The NFL takes a look at the evidence. Again, it is a man dragging an unconscious woman out of an elevator. And they suspend him for 2 games. That would be the games that were played this Sunday. The Baltimore Ravens played the Cincinnati Bengals. And the second game would have been against the Pittsburgh Steelers this Thursday. Meaning that should have everything come to pass, Ray Rice would have been eligible for reinstatement into the league this Friday. But that did not happen, and it will not happen, because early this week, on Monday, I believe, TMZ, the website that originally leaked the video of him dragging his wife out of, or soon-to-be wife, out of the elevator unconscious, leaked yet more video. And it was video of him punching her twice in the face, knocking her unconscious. Her head hit the railing, and then we know the rest, because we've seen the rest. He's dragging her out of the elevator. This is important because in the intervening time, the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice, and the NFL said both publicly on the record and off the record to other friendly reporting sources that this was the appropriate punishment, 2 games, because if we saw the video that we had yet to see, we would understand that this was a very contentious, very violent fight between both parties. And we would understand that it was a regrettable, ugly incident, but one for which we would, if we had all the information, see more of Ray Rice's side. Well, we saw the rest of the information, and the nation was sickened to the point that Ray Rice will never likely play in the NFL again. He's a running back who was already showing miles last season, and by the time that he has any kind of redemption period, he will not be of use for the NFL. So, where are we now? Are we better off? Are we better off for the right decision being made now? Should the Baltimore Ravens be applauded because they terminated his contract after the second video leaked? Do we believe that the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens did not see this video? That a smoothie drinking ne'er-do-well in Los Angeles named Harvey Levin was the only person in the world who could have gotten his hands on that tape? Are we to feel sorry for Janae Rice, who posted today on Instagram that everybody in the media that is turning this into the circus that it is should feel ashamed because her and her husband's lives are now ruined? And have we learned any lessons? Is there any element of this that says we will think about it differently the next time it happens? Because I tell you now, it has already happened from Monday. I will guarantee you that there is somebody in the NFL that has done something to somebody in their life that could be classified as domestic abuse. That might be a little harsh. I won't guarantee it. It's likely, it's very likely that in the next several months this will happen. The encouraging elements of this are that there were a lot of former and current players who reacted very negatively to this. And by negatively, I mean they reacted like they were shocked and disgusted by this video, and they didn't just cape up for Ray Rice because he is a fellow NFL player. Because until this is looked at as something other than a thing that happens, and we understand that just because the wife or the girlfriend sweeps it under the rug does not mean it's okay. And this systemically will happen. And it matters more when it happens to these people, i.e. people in public situations, because they set a frame of reference for a cultural dialogue. And if Ray Rice loses his job because he punches his girlfriend so hard he knocks her out, and the video we watch makes it look like he is callously doing it, and it is revealed that leadership in the Baltimore Ravens organization and the National Football League saw this video and sought to lead a public relations campaign to make it seem like this is no big deal, and that is blown up, and we continue to pay attention to who knew what and what did they say after they knew it, then at the very least we have an example to say this is happening, this is not cool that it's happening, and to cover it up means that you will have a greater repercussion once you are found out. And that there is never too late to come forward with this kind of information. Here's a little inside sauce from your old pal Justin Robert Rubles. I've come from a family marked by domestic violence. My father beat my mom. And this happened in the soft kind of ways for which domestic violence is a persistent problem in our society, in which he mentally tortured her, in which he physically was imposing to her, in which he let his alcoholism manifest into violent outbursts, and then eventually a climactic scene in which he not only beat her, but he threatened to kill her and kill me and my little brother. Now, was he serious? Who knows? Serious enough to say it, and it was serious enough for my mom to call the cops. Serious enough for him to go to fucking jail, and it's serious enough for me to look at this in a way that I would probably not look at other situations, because it is personal to me. I once had a friend of mine say to me, you know, Justin, you're funny because I wouldn't figure you for a closet feminist. And I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know, who knows what labels are, right? Like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with a lot of labels, because then all of a sudden it seems like you're automatically caping up for everybody around you, and who knows. So I don't know if feminist is the right word for me. But I know this. I'm a son of a paralegal single mother who went through a domestic violence situation with an asshole sociopath alcoholic husband. I am the son of somebody who fucking went through all that and had fucking cops tell her that maybe she's overreacting and she should come back to them when she has a little bit more of a serious situation on her hand. I've seen these situations close up. I know that they're real. And I know that in the climate that my mom went through stuff, O.J. Simpson beat his wife and didn't lose his job over it. That was public knowledge. Wasn't until he went and fucking killed her and a waiter that there were real repercussions. So when there was a dead to rights example of a dude punching his fucking girlfriend in the face so hard that she is knocked out. And you can see in that video that she's coming toward him. But you're a professional fucking athlete. You fucking hold her arms. You calm her down, or you call the fucking police. It's the callous manner in which he punches her that sickens everybody. Because I believe it reminds us of how persistent of a problem this is. And I'll guarantee you right now in the chat room, and everybody else who's listening to this will let me know that they've seen this in their family, that they've heard about it, they've witnessed it. And the more we understand that there's an open dialogue to be had, And this isn't a situation of he said, she said, that when you have a fucking real toxic, dangerous situation in your life, that you need to go forward and tell somebody, and that anybody who does it can and should suffer repercussions for it. Well, then we're going backwards. And I'm glad that the unrelenting tide of leaks and persistent internet gossip led us to this position. I fucking raise a toast to TMZ for not letting this shit go. I raise a toast to anybody who fucking bitched and rose hell about this on Twitter. And to everybody who fucking lied about this, and do I believe that there are fucking liars in the Baltimore Ravens and NFL organizations. I fucking very much believe that. I hope they lose their jobs. And I hope people demand they lose their jobs. And I hope reporters stick to this story and start asking those fucking Watergate questions. When did you, what did you know, and when did you know it? We keep going after this. Did I, am I the girl who kicked the hornet's nest or what? Everybody is in the chat room getting fucking all heated about stuff, and you know, goddamn well they should. I want to give a big shout out to Andrew Allen. Andrew Allen and the Andrew Allen Trio is who we're playing here today. Smooth Federation is the album. He does a lot of stuff for Frog Pants. If you haven't checked out Andrew Allen, then fucking please do. Keys with Soul is his Twitter handle. Now here, let me just add one more thing on this Ray Rice thing. Because if there's one thing that I don't want everybody to think, it's that I believe that this is a simple issue. It's not. It's an absolutely complicated, thorny issue. Igloo in the chat room says, so we should be breaking up families and putting husbands and fathers in jail. My dad went to jail for domestic violence. He deserved to. My life was better for it. I'm not saying my situation is every situation. I'm not saying that this needs to be a hard and fast rule, because again, it's extraordinarily complicated. I'm just saying it's a topic that only becomes more corrosive when we don't talk about it. It only becomes more corrosive when there doesn't seem to be a way to report it. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about something a little less super serious. That is Apple. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go from fucking domestic violence in America to something even more controversial. A new Apple product. Apple came out and really announced what will be the legacy of Tim Cook. Tim Cook said, "This is my penis. Please come and admire it and tell me whether or not it is sufficient." They announced a new line of iPhones. The iPhone 6s will be fat, and they will be FAT. We will see whether or not they are PHAT. 4.7-inch for the small version, and for the first time ever, there will be two different sizes of brand new iPhones. It's the iPhone 6 Plus that will be 5.5 inches. These are very fablety, although I don't think that they use that particular phrase. I haven't watched the official presentation yet. because I was traveling, and when I landed and started to watch it, it wouldn't load on my phone, and then it just gave me a screen letting me know that the Apple announcement was going to be happening soon, although it was already happening. And then, while everybody was talking, before it was freezing, I got a Mandarin translation over top of it. I think that's going to be forgotten fairly soon, the fact that the live stream was fucked up and weird. Although, listen, man, if you ain't going to be paying for the best with that kind of shit, then don't do it. And Apple hasn't done live streams for a lot of their events. And I think that would have been the way to go on this, unless you're going to fucking make absolute sure that you got your live stream right. And, you know, if they can live stream the Super Bowl, then you should be able to live stream an Apple event. But you're going to have to fucking pay top dollar for it. Can't just have Otto the Garbage Man coming out trying to fucking plug in a few wires and do a live stream like you're fucking Justin Robert Young in a St. Petersburg Comfort Inn. You got to go pro. Hire Colleen fucking Kelly. She does that shit for fucking Facebook and Google, man, and they do pretty well with that. Feel like you should holler at her. Fucking pay her top dollar. So what do we think? We have new iPhones, and for the first time since the blessed Steve Jobs shuffled loose his mortal coil and went to a pristine, pure white, aerial fonted heaven, we had the words, "and just one more thing," uttered. The one more thing this time was an iWatch. Very, very odd to me that no matter what you think of the demo of the iWatch, and believe you me, this was far closer to the original iPhone demonstration than anything else that Apple has done. It's not ready. Reviewers were not able to hold them. They were shown demo copies of what the physical look of it will be, and they just had a video of the features playing over them. They weren't able to use the dials on them, which apparently, according to Tim Cook, is analogous to the breakthrough of the click wheel on the iPad. It was what cracked the code for making a iPod, an MP3 player, a usable device. Their click wheel is going to be this little crown on the side of the iWatch. Oh, sorry, it's called the Apple Watch. Because, by the way, the eyes don't have it anymore. No, the eyes have been made. No more eye products for Apple. They're all going to be Apple products. I don't know what to think about the iWatch. I haven't seen the iWatch. I have a feeling that it's going to be rad. I have the same initial impression with the iWatch that I did with the iPad, which was meh, I guess. Eventually, I got my hands on an iPad. I totally fell in love with it. I have a feeling I will feel more excited about an iWatch when I put one on than when I think about it now. So let's table that for a second. The only thought I have on that is it's very weird to do a whole big, gigantic, worldwide news event for the most popular and requested Christmas gift of 2014, and then you don't sell it until 2015. Talk to my homie Andrew Main. Andrew says it's not that they are saying you can't buy the iWatch. They are saying don't buy the Moto 360 or any horse shit that Samsung comes out with. Save your pretty pennies for January. So let's table the iWatch, because I don't feel like we have any fucking idea on it. Here is what is the watershed moment out of that Apple event. This is what changes everything. To quote the Joker from The Dark Knight, you changed things. If it works, Apple Pay totally changes the game. If it works, the legacy of Tim Cook will be defined much in the way that Steve Jobs is credited for rescuing what was left of the music industry with iTunes. That will be dwarfed by Tim Cook restructuring how we pay for things. All right. If you didn't see it, the new iPhones will have Apple Pay. Apple Pay aspires for you to never carry your credit cards around with you. You take a picture of your credit cards, you enter in all your credit card information, then by way of NFC and iBeacon, you are able to pay for things with your phone and eventually your iWatch. This does a few really cool things. Number one, if you get your phone stolen, you don't get your credit card stolen, you can cancel things all at once. Number two, Apple, unlike Google, is not interested in mining your personal data. They're interested in selling you really fucking expensive hardware. So, they make a very big deal about the fact that Apple doesn't know what your credit card information is, Apple doesn't know what you buy, and Apple is going the extra mile to protect that information from the very people you are buying it from. So all the NFC stations that you are tapping know is that they are getting their money. They don't know who it came from, and they don't have your credit card number. Uses tokenization, which is a pretty rad concept, or at least the shit that I read up about it from the DTNS episodes that I did. Which, by the way, that's terrifying. I guest hosted DTNS on Friday and Monday, and that's terrifying. It's the first kind of hate Twitter I've ever gotten in a good long time, and I don't blame them, man. People have a very, very, very weird and specific relationship with daily podcasts. Get used to that. You get used to a certain person's cadence. You get used to their news judgment. When Tom goes away, I'm not trying to do a good job. I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to just not get my fucking head ripped off. I'm trying to be as inoffensive as possible so I can get through that and everybody cannot fucking scream and yell at me. And yet still, I had people saying, hey, fuck you. You suck dicks at podcasting. You're no replacement for Tom. And I'm like, no. No, somebody tweeted me and said, you were not born to podcast. To which I said, well, I agree that the Calvinistic ideals of predestination are a little too rigid. I don't think I was born to podcast any more than you were born to send hate fucking tweets. But yet we find ourselves here. Also, Tom is God. But I think Apple Pay is a big deal. And it's a big deal for other people who want to get into NFC payments as well. If you're a fan of Google Wallet, this is very, very good news for you. Because Apple swings a pretty big fucking stick when it comes to this shit. So there are more people that will have NFC transmitters because Apple is getting into it in a big fucking way. It'll be a lot easier to do. It'll be a lot easier to implement. The more that they sell, the cheaper they get, the more people use them. This is the moment for NFC payments. Hopefully. As you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Uber. I like Uber a lot. And the two things that people talk about when they use Uber for the first time are A, I'm glad I never have to take a fucking taxi again, and B, it was amazing to just walk out of the cab, to have everything taken care of. Now, Apple Pay is not the same solution as Uber, although apparently you'll be able to use it to pay for Uber cabs. But it will bring us a little closer to that feeling. That you can just, beep, be gone with something. That's important. It's very, very important. And that, I believe, will be the legacy of that announcement. Unless it sucks ass. In that case, it won't. We're going to do emails. We're going to do emails here first. And then we're going to get into the future of this show. If you would like to send me an email, you can send it to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put Jerry in the subject line. Brian wrote me an amazing, amazing email about his descent into Salpica Salsa Madness. I bring you only the third act just to catch you up. Brian was in love with a certain kind of corn salsa. He went to his local store, couldn't find it, found the Salpica variety, and he writes, "Now, when I opened the jar to find a few minutes ago, I tried it with my favorite brand of tortilla chip. I was immediately compelled to write this email because Salpica's version of a corn and black bean salsa so greatly outperformed the other brand that I am now painfully disappointed that Jewel Osco in Sycamore, Illinois did not have Salpica's Chipotle black bean dip with charred tomato on the shelves. The black beans and corn do an excellent job of complementing the flavor of the salsa, but had a cooked consistency that didn't detract from it like the other brands did. This not only met the expectations of what I was thinking black beans and corn should have added to a salsa, but I also found that other more traditional components of the salsa that Salpica had used combined in a way that even someone like as myself who grew up in the quote-unquote Southwest would find mind-blowing. If Salpica could take an option, that other brand, which I typically like, completely screwed up and turn it into utter and complete awesome, what could they do with what I already thought was utter and complete awesome from the other brand?" I don't know if that sentence makes sense, but when you've had this fucking salsa, this is the kind of gibberish you're going to write. TLDR, I need Salpica Chipotle black bean dip with roasted tomatoes now. This was brought to you by my unending campaign to get free shit from Salpica Salsa. So I want everybody to add it again. He's talking about how amazing Salpica Salsa is. By the way, just to keep it in the Brian family, Brian Brushwood was all up in Oakland over the weekend. He had some Salpica Salsa, and it just blew his dick inside out. He now has an inside-out dick, and Salpica's to blame because their salsa's so fucking good. Yet another Brian wrote me, "Hey, Jerry, I'm a lurking listener, a big fan, and a Patreon for Night Attack. For reference, I am Ungawong in chat, the one that said last week's Jerry Talks was looking like a beheading video. Thank you. Question mark? I saw this comparison link and immediately thought you might like to see it if you had not seen it already. I got it from a libertarian atheist, so it's okay by me. The link he sends demonstrates the difference in headlines and attitude between Gawker Media and Jezebel, which is another blog inside the Gawker family, about how they handled the Hulk Hogan sex tape and how Jezebel handled the Jennifer Lawrence nude pictures. Unsurprisingly, Jezebel, a women's interest blog, found the J-Law nude pictures disgusting and pillared everybody involved with it. Gawker Media was very cavalier about the Hulk Hogan fuck vid and, in fact, refused to take it down. What am I to take from this? Gawker is run by many different people, and they have conflicting interests. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, they both draw a paycheck with the same logo on top, but beyond that, man, who knows? And finally, Shiftlock says, "On the next Jerry Talks, please sit down and relax. It's a podcast, not a workout. You look fine. Goddamn body dysmorphia is ruining everybody." This is in reference to me standing up and doing the show last week. Because the show I did before that, I was sitting and I had like a big fat gut hanging out and it kind of weirded me out. And also I wanted to try doing the show sitting up. I'm sitting down this time for anybody keeping track at home. But I don't know. I kind of liked standing up. It kind of made me feel like I was a stand-up comedian or someone of some kind of worth. Again, if you'd like to send in emails, it is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I was hanging with Brian on Sunday night after the show, after the Night Attack show. And he was talking to me about Jerry, the Jerry podcast, and I said, the emails I get for this are amazing. It's been my favorite part about doing it over the summer. So let's talk. Can we talk? Talking about, a little shout out to Joan Rivers. Can we talk about the future, Jerry? Real talk, I did this updated regular version of the show on Tuesdays, in part because I wanted to keep Tuesdays warm for when Night Attack eventually returned to it. We moved Night Attack to Sundays so Brian could better accommodate his shooting schedule for what we now know is a untitled television project. Just fucking put two and two together, figure it out. But eventually we always knew that Night Attack would come back to Tuesdays because we love Tuesdays. Tuesdays is where it is. And so this was very much the methadone for people who had Tuesday withdrawal. We wanted everybody to know that their loyalty would be rewarded. So we had, you know, just a little Night Attack-esque kind of flavor. I also wanted to prove to myself that I could do this every week. No matter whether if I was on the road, if I was here, I would be able to stick to it and bring you guys a show. Preferably a live show. As far as I can tell, I only missed one live week, and I still did a podcast for it, which I was very happy about. But where do we go now? Because Night Attack's coming back to Tuesday, and I cannot do a super rock block of doing a jury show and a Night Attack show in the same breath. I put up straw poll to see what day you guys would like me to move to. Here's what I think. And I really, really, really want you guys to know that it is your opinion that matters. Tweet me, Justin R. Young. Email me, Justin Robert Young. Snapchat me, Justin R. Young. Do whatever you need to do to get in touch with me. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Justin Robert Young. I want to know what you like about the show. I want to know what you don't like about the show. I want to know when you want the show to be. I think it might take 1 week. I want the show, if the show is going to come back, and this is up to you guys, I want to know what you want out of it. I want the show to come back if it is welcome and be the best version of it can be. I feel like it's gotten a lot better since we started doing it. I would like to continue for it to get better. And I feel like this show has given me a lot of confidence to do a lot of different stuff. I've got a lot of really fun ideas for not only the future of this show, but also other shows. And if you like this, then I think you will also like some other ideas that I have that would be kind of shit in this vein. But the fact that you guys have been here, that our audience numbers have grown in the live sphere every single week, that the love and affection that you've shown me via email has really grown and intensified. It shows me that hopefully you guys want more, but I need to know. I need to hear from you. If I get enough people that say, you know, fuck you, this shit's boring and garbage, and maybe I'll hang it up. I don't think so, though. I think we're coming back. I think we'll find a new day. I think we're going to fucking keep this shit rolling because I don't think this is a summer fling. I think we're going to fucking make this work. I think that we're taking this shit to the next level. What I'm saying to you, listeners, to the Justin Robert Young Jury Podcast is I don't want to quit. I want to make you my steady. I want to give you my class ring. I want to make sure that Diamond Club has my unfiltered nonsense poured directly into any ear or eyeball that opts into it every single motherfucking week. And if you guys are down with that, then I'm going to keep fucking doing it. Make sure you pay attention to the Twitter. Make sure you pay attention to any email that you guys send me. I'll email you guys back. We'll have a good time. You can find this shit on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other shit. And, of course, you can always hashtag join the conversation, diamondclub.reddit.com. And if you will have me, then I will be back next week. We will have more fucking conversations about where to rent a car and where to go to a hotel. By the way, fucking, if you want to rent a car in Tampa, that shit is dirt cheap. I rented a fucking car for literally $5 a day. That ain't no fucking jive. And maybe when we come back, you'll trust me enough that we can move this shit to the next level. Because I'm trying to get to third base on you motherfuckers. I'm sliding my hand where it shouldn't. And we're going to fucking make this magic. If you will have it, send me your feedback. We'll make a bigger and better jury show next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you have spent any time watching this or listening to it over the summer, you have no idea how transformative this has been for me on a lot of levels that hopefully soon I will be able to explain to you guys. But until next week. This is your old pal Justin Robert Young telling you, please don't die!
Do you say we both just leave? Why is there more here left to see? I don't understand, is it me? Am I that difficult to read? I'll let myself out and see you turn around just in time to shout back at me. Do you like the way y'all dressed up? Your friends fuck up. Don't you think you have had